Welcome to this exciting episode of Talking Pork, the podcast created for the food service industry. I'm your host, Vanessa Barnes, Business Development Manager, Food Service Australian Pork. Today we are chatting with Karen Doyle, Program Manager for the Le Cordon Bleu, National Australian Culinary Federation President, a daughter, a sister, an aunt, a godmother, a friend, and a chef. Mm-hmm. Welcome, Karen.
Thank you, Vanessa, for having me.
We're so excited to have you on the show.
Oh, God.
Are you excited to be here?
Oh, yes. Of course.
Bib. Okay, so I want to know about you. Mm-hmm. Tell us your journey through the culinary world. Just deep dive. Tell us about you.
God, how long have we got?
We've got exactly 2.5 minutes.
Oh, God, my culinary journey. Well, actually, to be perfectly honest, I hadn't planned on having a culinary journey. It was one of those things coming to the end of secondary school at home. I'd applied for college, was heading off. Summer job, a friend of mine, Taryn, went, oh, do you want to come work with me for the summer? They had a little 5-star hotel.
Oh,
went,
wow.
Yeah, so I went to Moyglare Manor, small little hotel, 30-seater. So, yeah, worked for the summer there as an apprentice chef. Loved it. Parents were horrified. And from there, I actually got asked, would I like to go and do a 13-week scholarship in a little culinary institute, which I did. And from there, I got headhunted, started at my apprenticeship in the Conrad Hilton in Dublin and started my apprenticeship training at Culbrough Street in Dublin. So at that point, my parents were having a heart attack. So the uni got put on hold and off I went.
What would your parents have preferred you do?
Well, I suppose I'm the first person in my family who's gone into hospitality in any way, shape or form, and I suppose my dad was very, oh, my God, the heirs, et cetera, not a job for a girl, which, yeah, we dealt with that. No, all my aunties, et cetera, are in the medical field. So I suppose I was looking, ideally, I wanted to be a physiotherapist along that line or go into nursing. So, yeah, it was kind of on that border.
And it's nothing that you've ever regretted?
No. God, I wouldn't be where I am now. I must admit, I just love what I do.
Yes.
I love food. I'm passionate about it. I have fun. I like being creative. And I suppose it let all those forums come out and it was the ideal career for me. And, yeah, I've travelled a fair bit and done different things.
So you mentioned that you came from Dublin.
Yes. Well, Kildare is
Kildare. How
trained in Dublin. So I was probably about 40 minutes drive from there.
Okay.
So I'd be what you call at home a culchy.
A culchy.
Yes.
What does that mean?
You're outside Dublin.
Oh, okay. All right.
So if you ask Jerry or anyone.
Oh, right. Okay. Yes. What, how did you manage the transition to another country? That couldn't have been easy to come from a place that you've grown up, your family's there, and you've started a new life here in Australia.
Yeah. Yep, and I suppose it wasn't a conscious decision at first. How I came to be in Australia originally was I was coming backpacking with four friends. I'd taken a head chef.
That's how everyone ends up staying here.
Yeah, I'd taken a head chef's position at home and I was 25, working all the hours. God send, I have to remember where I am. And decided to go backpacking, came to Australia. I spent about 2 years travelling. I spent, on the way back, the girls left. I spent a lot of time in Australia and then I spent 6 months through Asia. So I really wanted to explore Asian cuisine and the different techniques. So
okay, that would have been interesting.
It was really, really interesting because at home at that stage, Chinese was about your only Asian type of food, to be very honest. So I went home. Yeah, I decided I'd apply for residency and kind of went, ah, sure, it'll be another 6 months because my dad was in Australia when he was young. He went to college out this way. So all of us, all four of my three brothers and myself have all backpacked through here. Well, actually, my brother is living here as well now. He's moved here. But, yeah, it was just kind of, yeah, I'll apply for residency. Give it 6 months. We'll see how we go. Applied on a Friday, had my visa on the Wednesday, kind of ended up here a month or 5 weeks later. It all kind of happened really quickly. Yeah. And it kind of just went from there, and I've built a life here. And I suppose my family come out a lot. Having my brother here has been, that's nice. But yeah, it's been an interesting transition.
And where?
But I must admit, the weather's much better.
The weather is nice, isn't it?
I can't imagine. We just walked out this morning, went, oh God, it's raining. And I went, yeah, one of the reasons I moved here.
Because what's the weather like in Ireland?
Oh, rains a lot.
And it's cold?
It's cold. Like in summer it can be okay. Like a 20 degree day, it's hot.
But it's a beautiful place.
Oh, it's stunning.
And you love going back there. And
oh, I go back at least once every year and a half.
Yes.
Yeah. Like it's still home.
And what's the difference in the food between Ireland and Australia?
Here is very multicultural, though there's been huge changes in probably the last 5 years at home. You're seeing the same sort of influences here. And also you can see a lot of Australian chefs are working in Ireland and Europe. So you're seeing those fingerprints are now happening at home as well.
That's interesting, isn't it? Yeah. Because we've got so many Irish chefs here.
Yeah.
And you're saying there's a lot of Australian chefs over in Ireland.
And there's a lot of Australian pubs. There's a lot of expats over there. So you're seeing similarity in the styles of food being served now.
So we're making our mark on the world.
Definitely. For such a small country, what we do here, we're making huge footprints across the world.
So take us back on your culinary journey right back to where it all started.
Mm-hmm.
What was the first dish you created? What was the first, no, not actually the first, what is your most fondest memory to do with food?
Honestly, standing in the kitchen with my grandmother, both my grandparents are from farms, and my parents obviously, but actually standing, I just remember my fondest memory would be going down, getting the milk out of the dairy with my grandmother and coming up and actually getting out the old churn, making butter and standing there and patting the butter. That's one of my things. Them making brown bread from the buttermilk.
That'd be amazing.
Yeah.
And they're such things that we just take completely for granted.
Yeah.
And what else?
Just things like that, because one of my grandmothers was an okay cook. The other one was excellent. She'd be the one who, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, she'd go, I feel like scones for afternoon tea. And 10 minutes later, she'd have them all bashed up and done.
Do you remember how she made them?
Yeah, I do. I have the rest. I actually have her cookery books.
Oh, that's nice.
So I've got a lot of the old handwritten recipes.
Because with scones, there's so many different.
Yeah.
It's seems like such an easy concept. And yet it's one that so many people get wrong.
Oh, yeah. No, hers were those big, light, airy, fluffy, cooked in the oven, the fresh eggs from the farm, the fresh buttermilk, yeah.
So what's the secret behind getting them nice and fluffy?
Making us whisk them. I think she used a fair bit of bicarb in them, actually, from memory.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, no. So I suppose from that, I had that real paddock to plate growing up, I suppose. When we were young, we'd go down our potatoes, our carrots, everything we'd pick on the farm.
Yes.
I remember spending summers picking potatoes, as they say. We'd all have to go down and do it with my grandparents. So it was things like that that give you that appreciation for food and where it comes from.
And it's amazing how, as a child, you take those simple things for granted, and it's only now that we look back and we understand how much we appreciated them.
Yeah. It was like your pet lamb when he disappeared. He went off on holidays.
We actually had the three little pigs. Pork chops and applesauce sauce, and then the sidekick.
Yeah. That happened a bit.
So tell me, what have been the challenges or hurdles you have faced as a chef or even now as a mentor?
Time management.
Yeah.
I have to say that's one of the biggest things I find. There's so many projects, so many things you'd love to be able to do, but it's actually sitting back and thinking, what are the priorities? What benefits do you get, or what's the best benefit to the person involved, and actually making the time for that. I found it very interesting going from saying yes to everything to now going, well, no, I can't do that, but look, here's somebody who can help.
Do you give yourself a little pat on the back when you do that?
No, then I feel guilty. No, but it is. And I suppose it's a way of growing as well. You have to learn how can I be effective you can't do everything brilliantly, which you don't do most of the time, but it's who can you direct people to? There's, if you look across Sydney, there's the wealth of talent and experience here you can put people on to. It's amazing.
It is amazing. We have got an amazing array of support networks around us.
And that's the one thing I'm so lucky. It's one thing I value very much is my networks, because a lot of good friends too.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
We'd all be nowhere without our good friends, right?
Oh, God, no. I wouldn't be in Australia. It's true. You choose. It's like you have your family, but you choose your friends.
Yeah, it's very true.
Yeah.
So during your time as a chef, what would be three significant changes you feel changed the landscape of cooking? It could be anything from trends, habits. Love your thoughts.
I suppose two that would spring to mind straight away would be the whole drive towards sustainability and paddock to plate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the consumer awareness about where the ingredients come from. I think that's been a big driver in the last few years, and you've seen a huge change in both customer and chef mentality in that area. And it's that localization of where your products come from.
So during your time as a chef, what would be the three most significant changes you feel have changed the landscape of cooking?
Well, as a couple of things that would spring straight to mind would be obviously sustainability. When we look across what's happening in our industry today, it's consumer awareness, paddock to plate, where our product is coming from, locality, etc., food miles. I think that's been a huge driver. If you look across a lot of the menus now, customers want to know where the product is coming from.
It's all about
from.
The story, isn't it?
It's the story behind it, the ethical practice, etc. I think that's been a big driver in the last few years and will be continuing.
Yeah?
Yeah. Another one, I suppose, as we all know, has been molecular cuisine. You look at Heston, you look at everybody, the changes, how people think. Isn't it? It's changed that whole theatre in your restaurant, you know.
Food science,
but seeing the theatre in the restaurant, you know, it's bringing the front to the back, or the back to the front a lot of the time. You know, the chefs are getting out there, there's interaction. So, yeah, that's been a big driver as well.
Just looking at that molecular gastronomy space for a minute, it's amazing to me how much more educated we can become just through the different TV shows that there are, and especially with that sustainability space. And Foxtel, you know, probably an SBS, they have some fantastic cooking shows. Not even cooking shows, they're storytelling.
Yeah, and it's
shows.
Amazing, isn't it?
It is.
And what you can do.
Mm.
I think it's that whole side of a chef. You can let your imagination run.
Yes.
You can be creative and put things together that shouldn't mix.
Mm.
And it really captures, and as we know, it captures our audiences. I know even here with our students, as soon as you say molecular, you take anything out, you just see that change straight away. It's like, wow.
Yes.
It's exciting.
And you do classes here as well, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, but that'd be really interesting. And how long do they go for?
It depends on what stage of the level you're at. We try and integrate through probably our superior upwards, using the methodology, using the equipment, etc. But then we do have some fun lessons in our advanced diploma where the students can actually play with ingredients and we get an expert in to demonstrate and explain the science behind it.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Congratulations on being the newly elected National President for the Australian Culinary Federation. How are you feeling about it?
Nervous. Not sure what I've let myself in for, but yeah. No, but on a serious note, excited and very honoured to be actually voted in. It's recognition, I suppose, from my fellow peers and presidents across Australia, which, yeah, I'll just say, yeah, it's nice.
It's pretty amazing, though. I mean, you must be feeling really proud of yourself. When you sit back and you look at what you've achieved, how you've come to Australia, you had nothing here, really.
No.
And you've created this amazing world. And to now become the president of the Australian Culinary Federation, I just think kudos to you, girlfriend. It's fantastic.
Oh, thank you very much. I'll just say thank you.
No,
it is. Of course it is. But, yeah, it's a bit daunting at the same time.
Yeah, you just don't think about that. You just keep going.
No.
So what are you focusing on? What is it that you want your legacy to be?
for me, I suppose it's collaboration and inclusion are two of the things I'm really concerned, would really like to concentrate on. It's having all aspects of the industry involved, that it's not like a kitchen doesn't run without front of house doesn't run without your maitre d', etc. It's just trying to get everybody to speak together. And also looking across industry bodies that we have across Australia, more collaboration that we can come together to run competitions, encourage. Obviously, we're all here. My main purpose is to shape the future of our industry. And if we can put, I suppose, supports as an industry together around that, I think that's what I'd like to achieve.
That's really, really nice. Mm. All right, moving on to something a little bit lighter and a bit more fun. What is your favourite ingredient?
Oh, God. It depends on the day.
Okay, what about today?
Oh, actually, I was looking at a really cool recipe. So today would be chocolate.
Chocolate?
Yes. You can do so many things with it, so many variations. You look at what's out there today, you can experiment.
So are we talking about dairy milk chocolate, or what sort of chocolate are we talking about?
No. I'm on the way home sometimes. No, I suppose this morning, being perfectly honest on that, I walked up the stairs and I looked at the showpieces our students have done, and I've just gone, wow, that's inspirational. What you can do from one little simple callet to a finished product. You can do sweet, savoury. I love jumping into the kitchen when we do our chocolate degustations here, because we combine chocolate and savoury.
Me?
Oh, yes, of course. Would you like to come to the next one? But it's just, you know, and I suppose you can see straight away that's where I get creative. I'm not in the kitchen as much anymore, obviously, in this role. I'm not in a chef's position, but I do like to get in there and I like to have fun.
That's really nice. Yeah. I have to say they are amazing. The, you know, some of the display pieces that I've seen just in those show box things up there at the front.
Yes. Well, I have to say it's the one thing I'm very, very lucky. The team of chefs I have here, they're just expert craftsmen. So what I learned from them, just walking in and out in 2 seconds, and what the students gain is amazing.
That's good. Favourite recipe?
Oh, God, I knew you were going to ask this. Is this for me or for...
Is it what?
Is it for me or is it something to cook for other people? If it's me
Let's
and I'm
do both.
Home, if it's me and I'm at home and I want something very plain, probably like a roast stuffed chicken or something with nice roast potatoes being Irish.
See, I love the fact that you put it out there like it's just this thing that you can just go well up and create a roast chicken and vegetables. So many people just don't. They just get it wrong.
True. And so you have to have a good potato stuffing in there.
Mm. See, I don't even know that a lot of people now even stuff their chooks. They just buy them either stuffed or... They don't even think about it.
That's true. There's some good ones out there.
Mm, there are.
Yeah.
So what about if you were cooking for other people?
I must admit, one of the old stand-tos, the last one I did, I kind of, You know when you say I'm going to cook dinner?
Yes.
I did this a while ago. I went, okay, I'm going to cook dinner. I ended up with 32 people.
Oh.
Yeah, so.
How does that happen? Because you put it out there.
To one, would you like to come over? And they go, oh, Karen's at dinner. And then it turns into a little trestle table down your sitting room.
And they're often the best nights.
And what's really nice, the last couple of times, a really nice beef Wellington.
Oh.
You know, a nice old traditional, good flavoured, easy to do when you've got lots of people. A good shoe, of course.
Yes. All right. Favourite pork dish?
Favourite pork dish? Oh, what did I have for you? I love pork too. I like a nice crispy skin pork. Nice loin of pork stuffed with prunes and armagnac and stuff, and then do a nice crispy crackling on top. Some nice Hasselback potatoes. There you go.
What's a Hasselback potato?
You know when you get a potato and you go...
Do you know that there's actually a method to be able to do that? If you get your chopping board right... And you've got your potato cut in half. You stick your potato at the back of the chopping board and then you just run your knife along it.
Oh, I'll have to try that.
You just don't ever cut through the potato.
Yeah.
My mum taught me that one.
I'll have to try that.
It's pretty clever.
So there are some of the things I do. Or a twice-baked goat souffle is another one I like. Oh,
that's nice. Yeah, that's a favourite.
Yeah, it's some nice figs.
Okay, big question. If you had six people for dinner, who would you choose to be around that table? And more importantly, who'd be your chef?
Oh, God. Oh, that's an interest. So I want to have good conversation around this table, don't I?
You might want to have good conversation. You may not want to have any conversation.
Oh, okay. All right, but
let's create the scenario. Okay, so you're going to have interesting conversation.
Okay, I'm
going to
have Michael Nostradamus.
Oh, so and you'd have Michael because?
I'd like to know what's going to happen in the next 10 years. See if some of his predictions come true.
Yes.
Because he's some of the stuff, I just find him fascinating and what he predicts, et cetera. And then if you were going to do that, then to have somebody like Albert Einstein, who's from the science side.
Because he would actually challenge everything that was being said.
Oh, who else would I have? Well, I'd have to have my dad there.
Yes.
Because I'd like to have dinner with him again from a personal side. How about Barack Obama? That could be a good mix.
That would be so interesting.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think of if I wanted an interesting conversation. Put Paul Bocuse into the mix.
Yes.
So we're going to have a bit of food in there. How many am I up to? Five.
You only need one more.
Oh, Donald Trump.
Wow, that's a bit of a firecracker right there in the middle. Boy.
Well, I don't know. That was a fly by night. I don't know. Actually, no. In all honesty, on the last one, probably a lecturer that I worked with years ago when I came to Sydney, Les. He was an old Hungarian chef. He would enjoy a conversation like that.
And who are you going to give the audacious task to of creating the dinner, being the chef?
Oh, God, this could get me in trouble.
Well, you might need a brigade.
I know. I've thought about six people already. That's how I'm going, oh, my God. Oh, Anton Mazerman.
Oh.
Yes.
And why would you choose
Anton? I've always admired what he's done. I just love his whole philosophy. I love the gentlemanness, the little dicky bow. But he was also ahead of his time in a lot of his creativity and what he did. And, you know, getting his little truck together and heading off to France and doing functions, etc. I think he'd be a really good person to have to cook dinner. Be interesting to see what he'd come up with.
It would be, wouldn't it? Yeah. I'd actually like to be a fly on the wall and listen to the conversation in general.
Yeah, I think it'd be an interesting one. I know my dad would just sit back and listen to it all.
He'd be with you. He'd be sitting back with you.
And then he'd throw in the odd comment.
They're normally the ones that actually matter.
Yeah.
Well, tell me, Karen, if people wanted to get in touch with you and just reach out, find out more about the Australian Culinary Federation, find out more about Le Cordon Bleu, be your friend, whatever it might be. How do they reach you?
Oh, God. All forms of social media. No, I'm Chef Karen Doyle on Facebook. Obviously, if it's with the Australian Culinary Federation, onto the webpage, my details are there, my number, email, etc. Instagram, Irish Kaz.
How many emails have you got these days?
About six. You see, that's the separation. You still, one thing as a chef, if you want to be good at what you do, you need to have some personal space and time for yourself. So by segregating certain parts of your life, not having it all happen at once can give you a clear mind as well.
That's really nice thought to end this podcast on. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. I hope that was interesting.
It was great. For more information, please email us at inspired@australianpork.com.au or sign up to receive our informative newsletters at www.inspiredbyaustralianpork.com.au. Until next time, I'm Vanessa Barnes, and don't forget, get more pork on your menu.